going to turn now to Stephen Barrett, who is a barrister at Radcliffe Chambers, and any further introduction than that you'll have to give yourself, since I'm stand-in.
Thank you very much. Well, I take the view that I shouldn't be here, and that something's gone wrong if a commercial chancery barrister is standing in front of a group of people and talking on this topic. The very fact that I'm here, I think, is symptomatic of failure, and it's a constitutional failure. So I'm just going to very quickly try and take you through the history of our constitution, because we don't teach it in schools, so you can be forgiven for not knowing it. 1,000 years ago, we were invaded by a thug. He was a tyrant, and he was a classic strongman tyrant. Like all classic strongman tyrants, he had his sycophants around him who propped him up, to whom he had to give some of the spoils, but largely he just nicked all the stuff. And that's what he did. And for 200 years, we were basically lawless. And if you irritated any of the tyrants or his thugs, you got thrown in an oubliette. I went on a lad's holiday to Wales, and we got shown the oubliette. And of course, everybody else was sort of giggling and finding this terribly entertaining, and I was looking at it and thinking, goodness, that, you know, real human beings went in that hole and did not come back, because there was no law. There was no rule of law. It took about 200 years, really, for the tyrants to even pretend that they weren't just total tyrants. And then they started using a veneer of respectability. They started having judges. Never forget this. Judges in their entirety, they belonged to the crown. They were originally his little enforcers, and they would do the tyrant's bidding. But over time, some of them were committed to something that I call the law. The law exists, by the way. I find it very therapeutic, it's very calming, it's like maths, it's real, and it's a process of applying rules in a consistent way. And some of these judges started to do law, they started to like it. And it was, largely, it was called the common law. And what happened in the law is it bifurcated, and we had two types of law. We had common law, which was basically the rule of law consistently applied. And we had equity, which became a special kind of posh law for tyrants to use, so they could come into their posh courts with their effectively corrupt judges and overturn the common law, which was the rule of law. Now, over the years, we've gravitated where our entire constitution is anti-tyrant. So we took more successive powers away from these tyrants, these kings. And, you know, basically, I think we're reaching our point of 1688, where we become tyrant-free. We should literally have a sign on arrival, welcome to the United Kingdom, tyrant-free since 1688. It's something to be very proud of as a constitution. That's, wow, I don't know if any other constitution can do that, but we did. Fast forward, and eventually, you know, these powers are being stripped away. Judges, I mentioned those two types of law, common law and equity. 1872, they merge, and all of a sudden the rule of law applies to equity, and equity has to become consistent, and become a consistently applied rules-based system. Yay, we've got law again. And what's been happening since, as John said, since the 1998 Human Rights Act, is that that constitutional principle has been under fundamental assault, and it's an error of our constitution, because the great strength of our constitution, can we please all remember, we didn't fall to a tyrant in the 20th century when almost everyone else did, you know? And within living memory of people in this room, there was a tyrant inside on the continent. There was a Spanish dictator for a very long time. So we should be very proud of our constitution. But the Human Rights Act is an assault upon it. It politicises judges and it pulls them in. I'm more hard-lined than John, because John wants Parliament to pass vague policy ideas and then let judges implement it. No. Parliament needs to tell us what the law is and then we'll apply the rule. That's what we do. That's what lawyers do. That's what judges should be doing. That means they have to write legislation better than they're writing it. It's flabby. It's got too many words in it. It's really bad. They're pretty rubbish at law and they need to get better at it if they want us to do things. When I was an undergraduate, because I expect my time is coming near to it.
You've got about a minute.
I just want you all to know that the most common phrase I would find in law reports. So I'm just, imagine, I was, you know, a much thinner boy sat in a wood-lined law library reading these cases, and the really common phrase is, this is not for us, this is for Parliament. Parliament must decide. On really boring stuff, like on the technicality of how leases work in property law, you find the phrase, not for us, for Parliament, not for us, for Parliament, and that all goes around the year 2000. Now, Lord Reed is the president of the Supreme Court, and he's fantastic, and he's trying to row it back. Last year, he passed a case to say that there was a broad misunderstanding of the Constitution. People had started to think ours is a bit too much like a European one. The ECHR and the ECJ, they don't mind being political courts. But remember, our courts aren't political because they've evolved over 1,000 years to not be. It's antithetical to our way of being. And the irony is that I do know what politics is, because I've had to define it, and I've worked very hard on the definition. This is a political statement. It needs to stop. Thank you.